بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم. وأنعم علينا يا عظيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that there's no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And for tonight, inshaAllah, bi'idhnillah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us fulfill the rights of this topic. And as we started this topic about extremism in Islam, and once again I clarify the word extremism in Islam, I am not talking about the contents and the definition and the meaning of the non-believers and the enemies of Islam, and especially the media that's fighting against Islam and Muslims day and night, put the picture and the meaning of extremism in the minds of Muslims and non-Muslims, that any person or any Muslim that prays or has a bid or attends the mosque or fasts, or any Muslim that wears the hijab or niqab, that's extremism. I'm not talking about that. That's not to them. Let them think whatever they want to think. We care about what Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do. This is not extremism, and this is nothing to do with extremism. Here I'm talking about the extremism that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had defined himself and spoke about himself and warned us about himself. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La taghlu fi dinikum, la taghlu fi dinikum." Do not go extreme in your religion. La taghlu fi dinikum. Do not go extreme in your religion. Alayhi salatu wassalam also says, halak al-mutanatti'un, halak al-mutanatti'un, halak al-mutanatti'un, those who go extreme, they've been destroyed. Those who go extreme, they've been destroyed. Those who go extreme, they've been destroyed. So here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had warned about extremism in Islam. And once again, when I say the word extremism, take out the meaning that we have to say they became successful in that way, the media, to put that meaning in the minds, even in the Muslims, unfortunately. SubhanAllah, it came to this day, someone prays a guest of the mosque, that's extreme. Someone has a bid, that's extreme. And if it's long, that's extreme. Someone wearing abaya, that's extreme. Someone fasting, that's extreme. Someone attending the mosque, that's extreme. And that's a game and a plot they worked so hard to put in the minds of the people. And unfortunately, as we said, Muslims fell into it before the non-Muslims. Muslims fell into it before the non-Muslims. Here we're talking about the extremism that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned, and Allah Azza wa Jal even himself had warned, Ya Ahl al-Kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum. As Allah says, O the people of scripture, do not go extreme in your religion. Do not go extreme in religion. So what does al-ghulu mean, or extremism, here in our religion's definition, in Islam's definition? Extremism here is to go overboard in areas that you should not go overboard in. Extreme here, al-ghulu, al-tajawuz al-had, going overboard in areas that you should not go overboard in, fi umur ghair shar'iyya, going overboard in issues that's got nothing to do with the deen, whether it looks nice from the outside or looks good from the outside. Extremism is to go overboard in issues that Islam had not told us to go overboard. And I mentioned a few of those issues and things last week, how some of the companions to get over extreme in the ibadah when Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't ask him for that. Some get over extreme in a way of dealing with others and Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't ask for that. Some get extreme in dealing with their families and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask for that. And one of the main things that unfortunately the Muslims, if you want to call some of them in the past as Muslims, this sickness and disease that existed from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and dragged on till our day, it's the takfir. Takfir, which is calling people, taking people out of Islam. This takfir issue, calling people out of Islam, something that existed at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Something that was at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had warned about. And he himself spoke about so many ahadith and so many narrations warning the believers and the Muslims not to fall into that hole. To call a Muslim a kafir. No doubt if someone is a kafir, he's a kafir. If someone is a non-believer and he tells you, I am a non-believer, he's a non-believer. But if someone says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and believes in Allah and His Prophet and Messenger, and from the outside you see all the acts of Muslims and Islam and him, then you call him a kafir, then that's a very dangerous line that alayhi salatu wasalam had warned about. After the battle of Hunayn, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave out a law of the booty. After the opening of Mecca, there was a great amount of booty. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had put it in one place. And alayhi salatu wasalam was giving so much of that booty to people. He'll be giving a man 1,000 camels, another one 2,000 camels, one 1,000 golden coins, other one 1,000 silver coins. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was giving until the word went around, أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا لَا يَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ. Muhammad does not feel poverty. Yani he's so comfortable, he's so satisfied that he's got enough food that he'll never feel or be afraid from poverty. So one of the diseased hearts people came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he said that this dividing of this booty is a division that does not please Allah Azza wa Jal. هذه قسمة لا يبتغى بها وجه الله. A man comes to who? To the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. A man, الله أعلم, how good his prayer is and how good his salah and how good his iman is. He comes to the most beloved man, to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this man who is the most just man, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and tells him, oh Muhammad, the way you're dividing this booty is unjust and it's a way that does not please Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry. What kind of an insult is that? What kind of an accusation? He accused the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It will be very hard to accuse someone of the street with an accusation like that. To come and accuse someone like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to tell him, oh Muhammad, this is why the way you're dividing this beauty is a way that does not please Allah. You're not dividing in a just way. You're unjust. You're someone that's a oppressor. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيْحَكْ وَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِذَا لَمْ أَعْدِلْ أَنَا. If I'm not going to be just, who's going to be just? If I'm not going to be just, then who's just? If I'm not going to be fair, then who's fair? وَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِذَا لَمْ يَعْدِلْ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is not going to be just, then who's going to be just? This man that gets a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and he does not say anything from his own. If he's not just, then who's just? So this man with weakness in his heart comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and tells him, oh Muhammad, this dividing of this beauty is a division that does not please Allah. You're not just in it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got angry and said, if I am not just, then who is just? So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum got angry and stood up and said, the Prophet Allah will chop his neck. So sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave him from this man and his descendant. From this man and his descendant will come out people, will come out people who will walk out of the deen quicker than the arrow out of its bow. They'll be so quick out of the deen. The Qur'an would not go past the throats. In a way, they read the Qur'an, but they don't understand what's in the Quran Kareem. It's just all of a show. One of you will look at their prayers, you'll disgrace your prayer in front of their prayers. But they'll be quicker out of the deen than when the arrow is thrown out. How quick is the arrow? When you throw the arrow from its, when you throw the arch, how quick it goes? That's how quick they'll be out of the deen. They grab onto things and they get extreme in issues that Islam does not ask them. And yes, indeed, from that man and the example of that man, the Khawarij came out. And the Khawarij are the oscillators. They are the ones that walked away from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We called all the Sahaba at their time non-believers. And they all came from that man. They all came from that man. And he was one of the leaders of the Khawarij later on. That man was one of the leaders of the Khawarij later on. And the Khawarij were one of the first people to start with the takfir. The Khawarij were one of the first people to start going around calling Muslims, not only Muslims, but even companions who the Prophet ﷺ witnessed on the Iman and witnessed that are from the people of the Paradise, like Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other companions, they called them as non-believers. Like, what would they call us? Allah Alam, they call us something above non-believers. If Ali ibn Abi Talib, an example of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah and the great companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who maybe made a mistake, they called them as kuffar. And that's why one of the reasons they called them kafirin, one of the reasons they called them as non-believers, is when Muawiyah and Ali agreed to get two companions, one companion from every side, to sit down and discuss the issue and come up with a resolution. So they said, لا حكم إلا لله. How could you make a judgment beside the judgment of Allah? You got those two to make a judgment over the book of Allah. What's this got to do with that? They're choosing two people. Of course they're going to judge by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they took that as an excuse and they turned against Muawiyah and Ali. Where Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was fighting against Muawiyah, they used to tell him, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, are they non-believers? He said, Ikhwanuna baghu alayna. No, they are brothers, but they turned against us. Ikhwanuna baghu alayna. They are brothers. Our Muslim brothers, they have rights over us the way we have rights over them, but they weren't against us. We deal with them on that way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not call a Muslim fighting another Muslim in the Quran Kareem, وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلَا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلِ الَّتِي تَبْغِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not call the two parties who fight, two believing parties who fight against each other as kuffar. He did not call, He still called them believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. That verily that the believers are brothers. Verily that the believers are brothers. So these Khawarij came and started to accuse this guy, kafir, that guy, kafir. And then they start to come up with the an, believe and aqidah. And then one of the believe and aqidah, that anyone that commits a major sin is a kafir. If someone commits a major sin, he's a kafir. So if someone, for example, drinks wine, he's a kafir. Someone who commits adultery is a kafir. Someone who gambles is a kafir. And if you want to apply this ruling now, 99% of the Muslims are not in Islam. And that's one of the other, مرتكب الكبير كافر. They said whoever commits the major sin is a kafir. And later on, the example of these people start to spread within other groups, where the Mu'tazila later on came, and they start also to accuse people of kuffar and so on. Until you have that mentality spreading among some people, and unfortunately, sincere teenagers who love Allah and His Prophet are falling into it, until you reach to this day where you have a group of people who call anyone that does not get along with their mind or someone that does not agree with their mentality is a kafir. Is a kafir, that's it. And they have, they always come up with a reason. And this started when a lot of the, how the brotherhood movement in Egypt, when they were locked up in Egypt and they were getting persecuted and punished by the Muslim sergeants and police and the security guards in the prisons. And then they said, if they are Muslims, then what would they punish us and persecute us? So they made a judgment over them that are kuffar. They made a judgment over them that are kuffar. And then that was the beginning where you start to find that you find Muslims are always are the main target when it comes to bombing, killings and so on in a Muslim country. Under the excuse that are kuffar, and they, because they're not with us, they are kafir. So it came to that mentality, and that's a very, very dangerous mentality. At-takfir. A takfir is a very, very dangerous mentality that Muslims should be very aware from. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إذا قال الرجل لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء به أحدهما. These are the some of the hadith that inshallah will mention what the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had warned about takfir. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if someone tells his brother a kafir, then one of them will end up being a kafir. If that person that's been accused is a kafir, then he's a kafir. What this man said is right. But if that person that this person had accused as being a kafir is not kafir in the sight of Allah, then the kufr comes back to him. Another hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a gas to him, if it does not get into him because not a kafir, get up to the heavens, and then if not find a place for it in the heavens, so get back to the person that said it. Also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, لعن المؤمن كقتله ومن رمى مؤمنا بكفر فهو كقتله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, cursing a believer is like killing him. Cursing a believer is like killing him. Accusing a believer, and then the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and accusing a believer with kufr is like killing him. Subhanallah, accusing a believer who believes in Allah and his Prophet with kufr is like he killed him. It's like a murder. So it's not, a small offense. He, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is making it. One of the major of sins is the shirk billah, then qatl. Qatl, killing someone innocently. It's the top of the letter of the major sins. And he, accusing your Muslim brother or accusing a believer of kufr is like you've killed him. It's like you've killed him. That's how great and big and massive this offense and penalty of calling someone a kafir, that unfortunately people find it easier than drinking a cup of water. Wal-ayyadu billah. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum before he passed away. He said, لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not go back kuffar after me. After I pass away, do not go kuffar, non-believers, killing one another. Killing one another. He in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some ahadith, he means kufr, the actual kufr, or he means the kufr, the action of the kufr. Here, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is warning the believers from not falling into the actions of the kufr by killing one another. By chopping necks of each other. And that's a dangerous line that the believers and the Muslims should not fall into. Time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in one of the expeditions, he killed someone that says, he killed a non-believer after he said, La ilaha illallah. And some narration says Khalid ibn Walid did it. Another narration says Ali ibn Abi Talib also did it. Another narration I heard, Ammar bin Yasir did it. They killed a non-believer that was running away from them after he says La ilaha illallah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, he kill him after they said it. So they said, oh, Prophet Allah, it's always obviously for them they said it to run away from death. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did you open their hearts and see what's in it? Usama bin Zayd said, by Allah, I wish that I became a Muslim at that time. Why? If I became a Muslim on that time, the Prophet ﷺ would not be harsh on me the way he was harsh on me at that time. That's how harsh the Prophet ﷺ and hard the Prophet ﷺ was in that issue. You take people by the outside. You do not judge them from what they're inside. You can't say, wallah, he's got this in his heart. Have you seen it? If you've seen it or he said it from the outside, then you'd make a judgment. But you haven't seen it. You accuse. This is something that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had warned. عليه الصلاة والسلام had warned about this. Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله تعالى عنه was once asked by a group of new Muslims. He said, and Jabir was a companion, that after the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, they asked him, oh Jabir, did you ever consider anyone that used to pray towards the Qibla a kafir? He said, ma'ad Allah, a'udhu billah, and he got scared. They said, Jabir ibn Abdullah took that matter very serious. These are the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They used to take this matter, calling someone a Muslim, non-Muslim, is a big thing. Jabir ibn Abdullah, one of the great companions and the scholars of the companions, who was asked that question, he said, ma'adha Allah, and the people described that when he said that, he was so scared. It's a big issue. It's not like Allah just calling someone a kafir, it's so easy, throw him with the kufr and take him out of the paradise to the hellfire, it's something easy. Also, it's been narrated by Abu Dawood, that a man from Bani Israel, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two men from Bani Israel were brothers. One of them used to commit the sins, the other one used to worship Allah azza wa jal. The worshipper used to always Try and guide and preach to the one that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and guide him to the right path. One day he saw him committing the sin. So he told him, fear Allah. So he said, leave me and my Lord. It's between me and Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said to him, Wallahi la yaghfirullah lak. Allah will never forgive you and never let you into the paradise. When they both died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got both of them together. And he told the one, the worshipper, he said, do you know more than me? Do you know about me? Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, do you know about my knowledge? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him, and do you have the strength of what I have in my hands? And then Allah Azza wa Jalla made the one that used to worship enter the hellfire and the one that used to disobey enter the paradise. It's not up to you. Wallah, it's not something, wallah, easy to take someone from Islam to put him into the kufr. He made the one, subhanAllah, the mujtahid. Allah alam, for how many years and decades and maybe even centuries, this person was worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal because he accused someone who probably had the love of Allah and his prophet in his hand, in his heart. He had that, but someone that mubtala bil ma'asi, he can't grab himself from falling into the ma'asi. But he had that love to Allah and his prophet maybe Musa alayhi salam. And because that worshipper accused this man of kufr, or accused this man, of course, of kufr, because he would never enter the paradise and Allah would not forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished this man, which made him in the hellfire, and the man that was accused to enter the paradise. That is very serious, ikhwani. Very, very serious and extremely serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرَ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah azza wa jal, Allah would never forgive anyone. Allah does not forgive anyone who associates another Lord with him. And Allah forgives anything beside that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives anything beside that. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was ordered by Allah to fight them until they say la ilaha illallah. For if they, once they say that, they had protected their soul and their blood and their wealth and their families from me. Just pronouncing the testification of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Once one of the companions who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this companion used to joke with the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. Once he was caught drinking wine, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam applied the had the penalty on him. And when that, well, after the penalty, some of the companions said, "Ma Allah curse you. La'natullahi alayk." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, then say that he's a man that used to love Allah and his Prophet." Subhanallah. A man drinks, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applies the had on him and disgraces him in front of everyone. And one companion said, La'natullah alayk. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam stopped him and said, don't say this about your brother. He's a man that used to love Allah and his Prophet. He's a man that used to love Allah and his Prophet. Another time the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam went and visited a group of companions. And then he asked about one of them. So he said, and the companions around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked him back, oh Prophet Allah, he's not around. So one of the companions said, oh Prophet Allah, what do you want? What do you care about him? He's a hypocrite, like the rest of the hypocrites. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, he's a man that might love Allah and his Prophet. He's a man that might love Allah Azza wa Jalla, Prophet. And obviously these companions had seen certain action from those people that made them say this. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not let them. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would not let them to go overboard by accusing anyone of kufr or taking anyone out of Islam. There are, obviously, there are actions which are kufr, and there are beliefs which are kufr. And no doubt if someone pronounces the kufr and says, I'm a kafir, I don't believe in Allah, this person automatically, the hukum of kufr is applied on him because it's something that you see from the outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, JazakAllah khair, Allah azza wa jal did not make us see in the hearts of people. And if Allah makes us see in the hearts of people, there'll be bigger fitna than what people think there's khair from behind it. This is the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ عَلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't know what's unseen. And if I knew, I would not put myself in situations that I don't want to be in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself doesn't know what's in the future. And Allah azza wa jal does not make us see what's in the future as a mercy for us. Or else life would not go on. Life would not continue. Life would not continue and future would not take place. Because everyone just sees their future and everyone just delays what they have potential and ambitions with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us deal with each other what we see from the outside. So I'll deal with you what you show me from the outside. And you deal with me from what I'll show you from the outside. And the hukum and the ruling of on someone as being a Muslim or non-Muslim is according to their action and what they say from the outside. What's kept in their hearts is between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. That means you could have someone who shows you belief from the outside, but he's a kafir from the inside. And in a hereafter, he'll be thrown in hellfire. And you could have someone in the opposite. You deal with him with kufr, but maybe this person's heart is full of iman and he'll be in the paradise in the hereafter. So we deal with people what we see and what we could see from the outside, what we hear from the outside, and what we experience from people from the outside. Here you have things, issues, actions, beliefs that no doubt is kufr. No doubt it's kufr. Someone swearing at Allah, wal-iyadu billah, swearing at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal-iyadu billah, swearing at the Quran, saying things that's out of Quran. These things automatically take people out of kufr. Automatically takes people out of kufr. And these people must turn to Islam. Before we get into that, if someone does become a kafir, someone, what are the things that applies on someone that becomes a kafir? When someone becomes a kafir, ya ikhwan, he's out of Islam. He's no longer a Muslim. He's a non-believer. And all the rulings and judgments on a non-believer applies on them. That means this person, he's not among the Muslims. You don't give him the rights of being a Muslim. If he dies, he does not get washed or prayed on or buried among the Muslims. This man as a kafir, as a non-believer, does not have the rights of giving him the support of a Muslim. He does not have the rights of being protected as a Muslim. If someone comes out of Islam, then this person is no longer married to his wife. Yeah, this is another issue. When someone, for example, swears at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately, this is a disease, especially among the Arabs. Arabs, most of them swear Allah Azza wa Jalla wa aliyadu billah. When they click, when they get angry, they start swearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you know, they want to put the blame on Allah Azza wa Jalla and they forget themselves. They swear Allah, and I've heard that so many times, especially people that live in the Sham area, in Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, they swear a lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa aliyadu billah is like something easy. Swearing Allah is automatic kufr. And when someone does that, he's out of Islam. And once he's out of Islam, he's no longer married to his wife. So that's the automatic divorce. To majority of scholars, except Imam Shafi'i says, within the Iddah period, if this person does not turn to Islam, then khalas, his wife is out of it. Then he's automatically divorced. The only difference is that Imam Hammalik, Imam Abu Hanifa says, he's automatically divorced. That's it. Him and his wife, everyone goes their way. But Imam Shafi'i says, if he said that his wife can't go near him for the next 2 or 3 months until her Iddah finishes, during that period, if it does not come to Islam, then khalas, everyone goes their way. Not Allah, khalas, automatically break. They go their way. This person does not inherit from his children, or his children inherit from him. He's no longer a Muslim. He does not inherit from Muslim, nor that a Muslim inherits from him. Those are these big things that apply on these people, when someone becomes a kafir. So these are things that which are very clear that someone becomes a kufr. Disbelieving in one verse in the Quran al-Karim is kufr. So for example, someone says, Wallah, I don't believe drinking wine is haram. Even if it doesn't drink wine, it's kufr. Someone says, I don't believe in the prayer, it's fard. That's kufr, even if he prays. I don't believe, wallahi, wearing the hijab is fard. That's kufr. Even if his wife is hijab. These are beliefs. These are beliefs and very dangerous beliefs. Okay. Things like that are very clear, which the Muslim nation does not disagree on. Muslim nation does not disagree on is ilm, ma'lum, min ad-deen bid-darura. A necessity knowledge that every single Muslim knows, young, old, knowledgeable, not knowledgeable, lived around Muslims, did not live around Muslims, they all know that there's something called prayer, there's something called fasting, there's something called hijab. But for example, someone says, I don't believe in niqab. Is he kafir? No, he's not a kafir. Why? Because niqab is some disagreement among the scholars. Something that manu ilm min ad-din min daru. Not everyone knows about it. Someone says, I don't believe bead is part of Islam. Okay? You don't call someone like that a kafir. Because it's not a knowledge that people, okay? It's not a knowledge that people, that everyone knows. Someone, for example, says, I don't know anything about wearing a abaya. Or someone says about the siwak. Or someone says about fear of the sunnah. You don't call them kuffar. They might be fusaq. They might reach the level of a fasiq by denying things that are sunnah and so on. But they don't get to the level of a kafir. Why? Because there are issues not everyone knows about. And look at, experience ourselves before, because we live in a non-Muslim country, living in Australia. A lot of us grew up here, maybe we had a bit of deen. But subhanAllah, when you come to the deen, there's a lot of things that you thought were halal that turned out to be haram. And I guess a lot of people thought, wallahi, You're not speaking with a girl, going out with a girl, it's okay. But when you come to the mosque, I'm shocked that Allah, it's haram. You didn't know Allah, beard is part of the sunnah. Yeah? See this knowledge that every Muslim knows about. And there's some knowledge not every Muslim knows about. You cannot make a judgment over someone when they say something like that. But that is agreed upon issues that every Muslim knows about. Young, old, lives around Muslims, lives far away from Muslims, has knowledge, doesn't have knowledge, knows about. And that's what they call the necessity knowledge. One person denying one of those necessity knowledge will lead them to kufr. Now there are issues that sometimes have ta'wil, have interpretation, has disagreement among the scholars. Some say this, some say that. You can't call anyone that says something that even if it's odd, a kufr. Like for example, some scholars say when you go and get engaged to a woman, okay, like Ibn Hazm, if you want to get engaged to a woman, you could see her naked. Allahu Akbar, what kind of a fatwa is that? That's big. Okay, and someone says that, and he says, I believe in that. Do you call him a kafir? Don't call him a kafir. Even if logically and Islamically, in the Quran and Sunnah, rejects her. But yani, that's an odd opinion. You can't call someone a kafir for such an action. You can't call someone a kafir for such an action. That's why, if someone says something that sounds a kufr, okay, if someone says something that sounds a kufr, especially from the scholars and ulama, you can't make a judgment on them as it being a kafir. You must sit down with them and hear their explanation. What did you say that? So you could understand from them what they meant from behind it. Because a lot of the times, you might say something, people take it differently. People take it differently. Like for example, even someone took me different. Once when I was saying one of the lectures, I was talking about the angels that carry the throne of Allah, and was describing each one of them as being narrated by the hadith, that the distance between the ear to the shoulder is about 1,000 years journey and so on. And then I said, SubhanAllah, if you could imagine how great is that angel, 8 angels carry one throne, how great is that throne? And I said, SubhanAllah, and how great and big Allah Azza wa Jal is. I had some people saying, that's kufr. I said, A'udhu billah, what did I say wrong? He said, you made Allah a size. I said, I didn't make Allah a size. You understood from me this, but I didn't mean it that way. You know what I mean? People took it that way. Okay, but you have to come and ask me. Maybe someone took her. He's making Allah a size. Okay, if I did that, or any sheikh that did that, and makes Allah as a size, yeah, that's kufr. I agree with you, but I didn't mean it that way. Not that I wanted to explain it that way. You understood it that way. Maybe because your mind is picking on something. You just want to hear something. I can't wait. And subhanAllah, later on I found out that this person turned out to be from somewhere else. Alhamdulillah. Some people want to hear something and they just grab this thing. And sometimes, especially from the ulama, because they're in a position where they always preach, speak, so on, they'll say something, you might understand there's something. And then at the back of your mind, shaitan starts to build it in your mind. Wallahi, that's kufr and kaza kaza. And the concept that's in your mind, yeah, no one would disagree with you. Yeah, if someone says that is kufr. But did the sheikh really mean that? Did this person that spoke mean that? Does he mean that? And that's why your duty is to ask. Yaakhi, is it true? Did you mean that? Because some people have a different interpretation. Different way. He explains something, someone takes it something else. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to explain things, people take him wrongly too. And he's the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even look at this, at that time when the Prophet alayhi sallam was given out the booty. This man comes and tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're an unjust man. You're an unjust man. And then the Prophet alayhi sallatu wa sallam, he's the Ansar, are very upset from him. That the Prophet alayhi sallatu wa sallam, now he forgot about him and didn't care about him. They interpreted that way. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cleared himself. Allah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cleared himself. So in issues that sometimes, especially from ulama, from scholars, from people who they've got Islam or Iman, you can't just accuse them what you hear. You must, if you have something, your duty is to hear. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiq bina fatabayyanu. Another riwayah, fatathabbatu. Yani if news comes to you that you're not sure about, go, ask. Ask. And that verse was revealed when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent a group of companions to go and collect the zakat from a tribe that's nearby Medina. And that tribe, they were collecting the zakat and they were putting it together and they were putting it in front of the mosque. So this companion that came to collect it, he saw the weapons outside and he saw weapons, he saw things that, usually used for war. So straight away interpreted it. They're preparing themselves to attack Medina. He ran back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, telling him, "O Prophet Allah, these people that you just sent me to, they're preparing themselves to come and attack us and invade us." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared an army, and Khalid ibn Walid put on an army, and he sent them. War. So when Khalid ibn Walid arrived, he heard the adhan. Subhanallah, what's going on here? We're coming to fight Muslims or non-Muslims? He saw the people pray. So he stopped, he asked them, said, well, we heard that you want to invade us. He said, no. He said, what's this weapon? He said, we're preparing to give you zakat. We know the man is coming now, so we're going to give him the zakat. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina aman ja'akum fasiqun binama fatabayyanu. If a news comes to you, if a wrong news comes to you, make sure. Look, investigate. Things look from outside one thing, but reality is another thing. And that's unfortunately the sum of the people fall into the takfir, is they just look things from the outside and they interpret it their way without asking what's the meaning from behind. And straight away, call this person a kufr, this person is a kafir and so on. And that's not the responsibility and that's not the duty of a general person. Secondly, you can't call someone who's a Muslim that believes in Allah and His Prophet and acts a Muslim, says a Muslim, a kafir by his name. This is not the job of a general person. This something, if it's going to take place, has got to be taken a census by the scholars. Scholars have to sit down, discuss it, and after a long discussion, they'll probably say, this person is a kafir, but usually they say, this action is a kafir. This action is kufr. This is the action of kufr. It's an unacceptable action. It's a non-believing action, and we do not accept such an action. So usually, if there's a wrong action, you say, this action is wrong. You do not refer to the action to the person saying that he is kafir. He is a non-believer. You start taking him out of Islam. In kufr, some scholars divide kufr to major kufr to minor kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Karim indicated to that, according to some of the scholars. Some scholars will say, nah, you know, you can't divide kufr to major and minor kufr. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal, He said in the Quran al-Kareem, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ. Some had believed, some had disbelieved. Here is the major kufr that takes someone out of Islam. Another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُرًا. Who had guided them to the path, some of them thank, the others deny. Sometimes kufr in the Quran al-Kareem means denying. So it could be a Muslim that believes in Allah but denies the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's called kufr, but not the kufr of the actual kufr that takes him out of Islam. And here the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Sibab al Muslim fusuq wa qitalu kufr. Abusing and assaulting a Muslim is fisq, and fighting him is kufr. So if a Muslim kills a Muslim, does it mean he's a kafir? No, he's not a kafir. But that's the action of kufr. That's the action of kufr. Okay? And that's where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, He said, if two Muslims fight each other, they both enter the hellfire. Allah will punish them for that. But He called them Muslims. He didn't call them kuffar. So fighting a Muslim, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi called that kufr. But which kufr? Not the major kufr that takes him out of Islam, but the minor kufr, that's the action of the kufr. That's the action of kufr. And this is also applies on someone that doesn't pray. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi says that al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum huwa salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. What's between us and the non-believers is kufr. And what's between us and the non-believers is salah. Whoever leaves it becomes a kafir. Okay, most of the scholars, as we said yesterday in Sydney Islamic College, most of the scholars said here the kufr that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi said about someone that does not pray is the action of kufr. Not the actual kufr that takes him out of Islam, is the action of kufr. And that's where the topic comes, that a mu'min, a person could be carrying iman and could be carrying kufr, or could be carrying iman, could be carrying nifaq at the same time. A person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a person who believes in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and does some of the righteous deeds could do some of the actions of kufr. Could do some of the actions of kufr. And that's where there's a hadith, there's some of the hadith that we mentioned earlier about the salah and so on apply, or about the action of where fighting a Muslim is a kufr. Also, some people could have believers, but they could have a bit of nifaq in them, hypocrisy. And this is something very clear in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that the signs of a munafiq, that إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبُ, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفُ, and when he promises, he breaks his promise. And if he promises, he makes his promise. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ, and if he disputes, he goes against you, he makes fujur against you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and whoever has any of those qualities has a quality of nifaq. So some mu'min, a believer, could have a quality of nifaq in them. If they have the quality of, they always speak the lie. When they make a promise, they break the promise. Or when they dispute with someone, they totally turn against him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and whoever, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فِي شُعْبَةٌ مِنْهُنَّا كَانَتْ فِي شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ النِّفَاقِ حَتَّى يَدَعَى. And whoever has one of those qualities of nifaq, he has a quality of nifaq until he leaves it. So a believer could carry the quality of nifaq, but he's a believer. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will judge him for the quality of nifaq, or who is a believer and could be committing the sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge him for the sins. Like Ibn Taymiyyah gave an example, it's like a tree that you cut its branches, still called a tree, but it doesn't have its branches. Still you call it a tree, but it doesn't have its branches. That's how the mu'min is. The mu'min sometimes is originally a mu'min, but if he does not act upon the iman and leave the fisq or leave the actions of kuffar and kufr, he's like a tree without branches. He's like a mu'min but does not have the beauty of iman in them. Does not have the beauty of iman in them. And as I said, the issue of takfir is not an issue that someone, wallah, could carry and just kafir this guy, kafir that guy. It's a major issue. It's not a tool that people could play around with. It could fire in your face. It's like fire or electricity that could backfire at you if you don't know how to deal with it. And at the end of the day, it's not the job of the general people. It's the job of the scholars. And the scholars do not even put themselves in the position of calling this guy a kafir or the guy a kafir. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned about the khawarij because they call others kuffar. And this is a disgraceful quality to have, to call this guy a kafir or that guy a fasiq. It's not your job to look into the people's actions or what's in their hearts. You act with people and you deal with people according to what you see from the outside, and you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahi after, you would not be asked and judged, why didn't you call this guy a kafir and why didn't you call that guy a fasiq? You'll be judged according to your actions. Allah azza wa jalla will judge you to your actions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you to your deeds and what you do and what you give and what you sacrifice and what you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsan. Subhanakallahumma hamdaka nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.